This tape is a production of All Roads Ministry. Your speaker is Vin Lewis, founder and president of All Road Ministry. This is an on-the-air tape, tape number 12, number 12 in this series. This particular tape is a live recording of an appearance made by me on a Tennessee radio station hosted by a fellow named Wesley, who is a member of the so-called Church of Christ. The show is pretty much self-explanatory, and I don't think you need any, shall we say, editorial comments from me, other than to say that this was one of two appearances, and I felt, and you will too, that Wesley was dishonest, evasive, and cowardly during the first appearance, and I didn't tolerate it during the second. So if you're only listening to this one, you may feel a little angry, but if you're listening to both, I think you might appreciate what happens in the second day's session a little more than what happens in the first. With that in mind, hope you enjoy what you do here. Thanks for listening. God bless.
And now, Arise to Truth.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Arise to Truth. I'm Eddie Kraft. We appreciate you joining us today on the Arise to Truth radio program. A little bit different format today in contrast to what we have done in the past. We have on our phone lines Ben Lewis from New York. He is a member of the Roman Catholic Church, and he and Wesley Simons today will be engaged in a discussion on authority. And we look forward to this discussion, and we appreciate very, very much those of you in our area that have talked about the program, the interest that has been shown. We certainly appreciate Ben in his calling and requesting this kind of study together, and it's certainly an opportunity that we feel is very, very good. We want to mention before we get into our study, however, today, that about midway of the program, we'll have just a pause, enough, a verse of a song or something, where we can have changing of the tapes. We have a lot of folks that are taping the program, and we know that that will give you an opportunity to turn your tape over and get ready for the second part of our study together. Also, Wesley wanted me to announce, for those of you that have been attending his Thursday night class, that they will not meet this Thursday night. For those of you that are listening to the program that usually meet with Wesley on Thursday night in their study on Bible geography, you'll want to make a note of that. Your class will not be meeting this Thursday night. As we mentioned a moment ago, we have a little different format today, and we certainly hope and trust you'll enjoy it. Ben's going to take 5 minutes of time, and then Wesley will follow that with 5 minutes, and I get the great task of keeping the time. And I got a good timepiece here, and so we shouldn't have any trouble with that. Ben, we certainly appreciate very much your calling the program, your request to have this study. And so at this time, we're going to turn the program over to Ben Lewis in New York. Ben?
First of all, thanks for having me on. Happy New Year to all your listeners and to you. And I would simply like to say I'm a big-mouth New Yorker, so let me get the formalities out of the way first. I do appreciate the courtesy and the gentlemanliness that you people have shown on this. I also admire the guts that you have being willing to deal with a direct confrontation with someone who obviously is on completely different viewpoint and belief system than you are. And I admire the fact you're willing to do it publicly. I would also, another formality I'd like to get out of the way, although it certainly comes from a sincere heart, I'd like to invite not only the people I've dealt with so far and the whole staff of the radio station, but all listeners to join the Church of Rome, because if they don't, before their last judgment, they will perish eternally. But that out of the way, let me get to the key point, which is the issue of authority. And authority is related to the question of who should you believe and why. So let me define the word authority so that we'll know what we're talking about. Authority is a status which is ascribed, that means given, to a person or an institution, which allows that person or institution to make binding decisions in certain areas. So let me say it again. An authority is a status given to a person or institution which allows that person or institution to make binding decisions in a certain area. Now, one time, some we might almost call a substitute or a synonym for authority the word jurisdiction. The Supreme Court has jurisdiction on federal matters throughout the United States. Your local traffic court has jurisdiction on traffic offenses within that area of jurisdiction. So now it comes down to this. We have different groups, obviously, claiming at least some degree of authority, or shall we say following different authority systems. The Church of Rome, known as the Roman Catholic Church, the denomination of which I am a part and which I defend, claims to be the ultimate authority on all matters of religion on earth. Now, be careful about that. This does not mean to say that it takes the place of God in the sense that it takes God's authority. What it does, what she does claim, is that she is substituting as the voice of God on earth until the second coming. So we have an obvious conflict here. Why should one believe or accept the authority of the Church of Rome as opposed to any other system, any other group, any other book, any other man, etc., etc., etc.? And the points are, and I'll sort of present these as briefly as I can, and if Wesley wants to comment on them, fine. If not, we'll let them go. I would say that the reason one should accept the authority of the Church of Rome is that it has proofs of its validity, that is, of its truth, of its divine origin, which no other system can offer and which no other system can attack. Number one, Jesus frequently talks about how his followers must be humble. He even describes himself as humble. A humble person or a humble institution is one which accepts unchanged the truth which comes from God, accepts it, and demands that all others accept it in exactly the same way. So the humble person, the truly humble person, the Christian humble person, appears to be an arrogant person, because what he is doing is demanding that you accept his truth and no other. Now, only Catholics do this. I will put it into a very personal example. I tell your listeners, as I tell Wesley, as I tell anybody who calls me, as I tell as at the tail end of the TV show that we produce, you must believe as I believe in order to be saved. We're not talking about a book. We're not talking about Greek participles. We're not talking about variations of a translation. We're talking about a human being. I'm telling you that you must believe what I believe in order to be saved. If you reject what I believe, you will be damned, no matter how good your works are or no matter how many other things you believe that are right. This is the same sense that the geography teacher teaches that Canada is north of the United States. The geography teacher is being truly humble and demands that the students mark that on their test. Another example, only the Church of Rome is validated by miracles, miracles which are part of history, not legend, not myth, not folklore. I would suggest that anyone who wishes to goes to their local library, gets out the Encyclopedia Britannica, and look up in the newer version what's called the Quick Reference Guide under Fatima, F-A-T-I-M-A. And what you will find out is the Encyclopedia Britannica records as an historical event equal to the Battle of Waterloo and the discovery of the New World by Columbus and the inauguration of President Eisenhower. On that same degree of validity, at that same degree of historicity, the miracle of the sun, which took place in Fatima in 1917 and was witnessed by 70,000 people. This was due to the direct intervention and intercessory acts of the Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, to confirm specific Catholic dogmas. Until or unless another church can advocate anything like this, and this is only one, then no other church can claim that it is doing what our Lord said in the Bible, my followers will do greater signs than these. Another argument to why one should accept the authority of the Church of Rome is what I call ontological, which is a word I use describing something of its very nature.
Time, Ben.
Okay, we'll get to that at another time, or maybe not, and thank you.
Ben, thank you very much. We appreciate that, and we'll turn it over to Wes.
Okay, I do appreciate so much Ben's great attitude in trying to present that which he believes. However, Ben, I believe there's a much greater way that you could have gone at this that would establish your case. See, we who believe the Bible are not going to buy some of these things that people have taught. Everyone's got a story to tell, so to speak. What I mean by that, every group to a large degree tries to use some kind of miracles to establish their case. Those who've listened to Arise to Truth know that. Let me give you a better way you should have gone at it, and, as far as I'm concerned, Ben. In Catholic Facts, page 27, we have this statement with which I agree. If it is not identical in belief, government, and etc., with the primitive church, then it is not the Church of Christ, end of quote. And that's exactly right. Now, then I suggest what you should have done is gone to the Word of God. You agree the Bible is inspired. I agree the Bible is inspired. Why not go to the Bible and show us book, chapter, and verse why we should accept the Roman Catholic Church? We know the Bible to be the inspired Word of God. Now, in a series of questions that I sent to Venn, I asked him the question, number 12, name one thing that I must believe to be saved that is not found in the Bible. And he talks about the event of Fatima, which he brought up in his first speech. Now, can you imagine being there on the day of Pentecost when those people cried out, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And they were told by Peter, whom Venn says is the first pope, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, if those people were living today, they'd have to obey a different plan of salvation, given what Venn says. They would have to do that plus believe in the event of Fatima. He says, well, we, the Roman Catholics, we're the only group who has been proven, established to be true by miracles. Of course, that's not true. We affirm that the Word of God has been confirmed by miracles. And even when you turn to John 20, 30, and 31, the Bible makes it plain that the miracles of the first century were for the express purpose of making us believers in the Christ. Now notice what the Word of God says when we turn to John 20, verses 30 and 31. Here the Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So then we, as members of the Lord's church, our religion is grounded in miracles, the very miracles that the Son of God himself worked, that the apostles worked, proves that what we believe is true. Now, we're not going to buy what took place at Fatima. We're not going to buy that at all. Ben said, well, it's documented. Then we say, by whom? We want to know by whom. We don't believe that. The Bible is clear that we have in the Word of God the miracles, the signs that are needed to establish the truths that you and I must believe. Again, I go back to the Catholic fact statement that was made on page 27. If the church you're a member of, then, is not identical to the primitive church, then it is not the Church of Christ. Now, what we want to see is the Roman Catholic Church in the Word of God. What we want to see is the Pope found in the Word of God, nuns found in the Word of God. What we want to see is the Catholic plan of salvation found in the Word of God. What we need is Bible authority for baptizing infants. What we need is Bible authority for purgatory. What we need is Bible authority for the various things that you believe. Now, we're talking about authority. Now, are we going to believe what took place in Fatima over the Word of God? The Word of God, my friends, is sufficient, given what the Bible says, to bring about eternal life for you and for me. Now, Venn says if you and I don't believe in Fatima, we can't be saved. He also states if we don't believe in the Immaculate Conception, we cannot be saved. He also says if we do not believe in the bodily assumption of Mary, we cannot be saved. What we need is not assumption, Venn, and assume this to be the case. Don't just go around assuming it. We want proof. Now, it's not going to get the job done for someone to come along and say, well, look it up in a world book somewhere. Then what we want you to do is look it up in the Word of God. Now, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, the one you read about in the Bible, sure, you and I both will be saved, or lost, brother. And we want to be saved. We don't want to be lost. So we got to do what the Word of God teaches. So then, this time, please, give us some proof for that which you're affirming.
Thank you very much, Wesley. Ben, we'll give you the next 5 minutes.
Thank you. A few points. Number one, I can give Bible references for purgatory, infant baptism, all of that, but I was under the understanding I'll be on the show again at another time, and I thought then that might be more appropriate to do so. I would also say this. I would hope that you would give out my telephone number. Have anybody who wishes to have those references, they can call me at my house, and I'll be quite happy to give them. Or they can obtain audio tapes from us. I guess that's sort of a plug and explains why I'm not answering those things in general. I will try to respond directly to some of the things Wesley said, time permitting. Number one, why did I not give chapter and verse? Well, I made a couple of oblique references, but one of the reasons I don't give chapter and verse is I've been at this business for about 8 years. I've dealt with approximately 2,300 anti-Catholic Protestants / non-Catholics. And what I found is the old phrase applies very correctly. There are none so blind as those who will not see. You can show them anything in the Bible. You can show it to them very clearly, and they simply will not accept, because, as I'm sure we all understand, it is the heart of man which runs the mind, which runs the brain, which runs the eyes. You will not see what you don't want to see. Let me get a little philosophical, if I may, here, about truth in general. Not only must you accept Fatima, you also must accept 2 plus 2 equals 4, equaling is also as a truth. Why? Because if you say 2 plus 2 equals 5, you are a liar. And the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, clearly pronounces that no liars will enter the kingdom of God. Now, if you hold to that after you should have repented and understood that 2 plus 2 equals 4, and if you continue to hold that 2 plus 2 equals 5, you're a liar. Liars are not to be believed. Remember, we're dealing with the concept of authority here. You do not believe someone, as the O.J. Simpson case brought to the American public repeatedly. When a person is shown to be a liar, when he is shown to be a liar under oath, when he is shown to refuse to accept truth, no matter how it's presented, no matter what the authority, no matter what the system, when he doesn't accept truth because of his own bigotry and prejudice, that person is not to be accepted as an authority on any serious matter whatsoever. I mentioned the Encyclopedia Britannica. If you wish to reject the Encyclopedia Britannica as a source of knowledge, then you must, if you are going to be consistent, which of course you won't, reject, number one, the Battle of Waterloo took place. Number two, that there was such a thing as a president called Eisenhower. Number three, that there was such a thing as a civil war. Because they are recorded in Encyclopedia Britannica with the same degree of validity as the miracle of Fatima. The point is this. There are miracles in other churches. Maybe there are. Maybe there aren't. But no miracle in any other church is ever offered as a proof or dogma. Show me the man who says, because I have cured this man of alcoholism, or Billy Graham, or Oral Roberts, because this man now walks, and before he couldn't. Show me the man who now says, this means what I say is true, and then we have an argument. But the point is, we don't have an argument, because no miracle is ever offered outside of the Catholic Church on that basis. And the miracle of Fatima and the miracles of Lourdes and the miraculous image of Our Lady of Guadalupe are as documented as the existence of Abraham Lincoln. Now, if you wish to look at the documentation and then reject it, that's fine. Then we have an argument. But you do not refuse. You refuse to even go down to the library and look, because the normal non-Catholic view is to blind himself. What I am saying is this. Catholics have the obligation to accept universal truths. They have the obligation to accept that H2O is the proper chemical formula for water, and that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States, like it or not. They have an obligation to accept all truth in all cases at all times, because all truth comes from God, and man must be in accord with it, and he must not reject it whenever it's presented to him. What I say is there is only one church and one group of people who do this, and those are the members of the Church of Rome. Now, again, I could give script verses and I could give other things, but I'll use this as a counterattack later to prove to Wesley that he does, in fact, believe in purgatory, but he, in fact, is always denying it. I'll bring that up in my next part. How much time have I got there?
You got 55 seconds.
Okay. Well, then let me simply summarize the statement. And interesting, Wesley said something which gets completely dishonest. I'm sure he didn't mean it. You have to believe Fatima over the Word of God? No. You have to believe that Fatima occurred, that it was a religious act, that it was miraculous, along with the Word of God. There's no conflict between the two. This is like saying I have to believe Abraham Lincoln was President of the United States as opposed to the Lord died on the cross for me. No, they're both historical events. There's no conflict between them. Go ahead.
Okay, Ben, thank you very much. Brother Simon.
Okay, let me say again, relative to what Ben has said, he is making Fatima, the event there, equal with the Word of God. Now, Ben, to do that, you're going to have Bible authority to do that. We're speaking to a group of people that love the Word of God. Now, here are some things that happened down in Fatima that these things occurred, so Ben tells us. Go look in the World Book, he says, that they'll verify it. But, friends, do you know who submits those articles oftentimes to the World Book? The people that believe those things. For instance, the one who wrote the article about the Church of Christ was a member of the Church of Christ, B.C. Goodpaster. All right, same way, I'm sure that some Catholic submitted the article about Fatima. Sure, he believes it. Now, Ben, I saw a show the other day on miracles where these things were said to be in question by those who were doing the investigating. Not only that, I got a book here by Philip S. Kaufman, who is a member of the Catholic Church, and he says such things as the apparitions that are allegedly seen by Catholics are not a test of fellowship, and among the things he mentions is that of Fatima. Now, is he a true Catholic, Ben? Is he saved? Now, what we need, Ben, is go back to the Word of God. Why argue over Fatima, which we're not going to accept? Why not go back to the Word of God and accept what the Bible says? You know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Where does the Word of God say anything about Fatima? Where does the Word of God say anything about the bodily assumption of Mary, the Immaculate Conception? And on we could go with hundreds and hundreds of things believed by the Roman Catholic Church that's not found in the Word of God. Our contention is the Bible is sufficient. It is a book that gives us all the necessary things that Jesus did, John 20, 30, and 31. It gives us all necessary things that Jesus taught, Acts 1, 1 and 2. It gives us the certainty of these actions, then. That's what we need, the certainty of actions, Luke 1, 3 and 4. It gives us a belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, John 20, 30 and 31. It gives us life in the name of Jesus Christ, John 30 and 31. It gives us fellowship with the apostles, 1 John 1, 3. Joys that are full, 1 John 1, 4. It gives us protection against sin, 1 John 2, 1. It gives us the blessings of God, Revelation 1, 3. It makes us understand the mysteries of God, Romans 16, 25 and 26, Ephesians 3, 3. It also gives us the very commandments of God, according to 1 Corinthians 14, 37. Now, I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. Since it gives us the commandments of God and what we must do to be saved, friends, where do you read about in the Word of God where you got to believe and obey Fatima or go to hell, or the bodily assumption and go to hell? Then is not given us one reason, not one biblical reason, to be a Roman Catholic. Not one. Now, what we need, then, is for you to do like the Catholic fact said. It said, if it's not identical with the first century church, then it's not the Church of Christ. I can prove that the church I'm a member of is identical in every attribute with the first century church. Now, let's say you do that with the Roman Catholic Church. You're not going to find the nuns. You're not going to find the archbishops. You're not going to find Mass. You're not going to find all those things in the Word of God. Now, here's what really shocks me. You've had two speeches, and you've not really given a verse, per se, and tried to expound anything about a Bible verse. It's history. History. If you go to the world books and look, go do this, go do... What we want is reliable history. You agree and I agree the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, perfect will of God. If that's right, then, why don't you use reliable history? Why not use the Word of God to establish the Roman Catholic Church? This is what I plan to do in establishing the cause of Christ, the church that you read about in the Bible. And so that's all we asked you to do. Now, you're trying to get us to believe these things. In a moment, I want to present some surveys by the New York Times, CBS, and also the Gallup poll that shows the Roman Catholics don't even believe what you're trying to promote. Now, what you need to do is try to convince the Catholics on these points and then come and try to convince us. They don't believe that you have to believe in the authority of the Pope, over 50% of them, in order to be a good Roman Catholic. They do not believe that you have to believe in it being a sin to practice birth control. And on we could go. But then what we need is Bible. We need book, chapter, and verse. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Please give us the truth. Thank you.
Okay, Wes, and Ben, we'll come back to you for the next 5 minutes.
Let me try to answer some of what Wes said. First of all, Wes is, I hope, being careless in his language. He said, I'm trying to make the event of Fatima equal to the Word of God. This is like trying to make a giraffe equal to the color blue. Wes, an event is an incident. The Word of God is a concept.
And the Encyclopedia Britannica contains, and any encyclopedia contains different things. Number one, events which are recorded as history. It doesn't matter on opinion. Number two, organizations, as in the article on the Church of Christ, which is a description. Number three, theology, which are opinions also. To try to equate these is to literally mangle English so that no rational person can possibly follow an argument. I hope you're being careless, Wes, because I hope you really don't mean what you said. I put it out again, and I say it again, and it's the Encyclopedia Britannica, not the World Book. It's recorded as an historical event. I will make this as clear as possible. If you can show me any proof whatsoever or come up with any denial that this event occurred in, by the way, a socialistic anti-Catholic country, which was recorded in the local newspapers of the time and witnessed by 70,000 people, and just to make it clear in case nobody knows what we're talking about, the sun came down from the sky and didn't burn people. 70,000 people saw it. Now, the point is, the other fellow says you don't have to believe in Fatima. If that's what he's actually saying, and of course it always is a misunderstanding when people read Catholic documents, then of course he's not a Catholic. Yes, he's not a true Catholic. If he doesn't agree with me, he's not a true Catholic. And just as a slight point, if you show these statistics that show, quote, Catholics, unquote, don't believe things, it means absolutely nothing. Many people believe the Catholic Church in the United States has roughly 60 million members. In fact, I would say a reasonable estimate is anywhere from 2 to 5 million. The only way you can be a Catholic is to accept all, I repeat, all, every dogma of the faith. If you reject one, you're no longer a Catholic by definition. You're either a heretic, schismatic, excommunicated. It doesn't matter. You're not a Catholic anymore. You may be a Holy Sacrifice of the Mass-going Protestant. You may be a Protestant who says the rosaries. You may be a Protestant who has a statue of the Blessed Mother in your house. But you're still not a Catholic if you don't agree with me. But I'll give you a verse. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. Where's that from? From the Gospel of St. Luke. Also in the Gospel of St. Luke, Jesus clearly says that unless you denounce yourself, renounce, get rid of all of your possessions, you cannot be a follower of mine. Now, I would point out to you that anybody who holds that the Bible is true and still holds possessions is calling Jesus a liar. But that's what all non-Catholics do anyway. Are they saying, well, of course, that was figurative. Yes, if it was figurative, then you don't mean it. And our Lord didn't mean it. And you can reject and pick and choose whatever he says as valid or invalid. But I point out to this. Millions of people associated with the Church of Rome have renounced everything they own. The people always talk about Mother Teresa, and they talk about her as an exemplary character, the shining light of Christianity in the 20th century. The thing that people should realize about Mother Teresa is not her specialness, but her complete ordinariness. Mother Teresa is an extremely ordinary Catholic. Millions of Catholics have lived lives of heroic virtue equal to hers. They have denounced everything, and they have devoted themselves to the poor. Show me another church where people follow the words of Christ, and then we have an argument, but no other does. But, as I said, you want the verse? He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who sent me. Christ was talking about that to his disciples. He's talking about that to the Church of Rome, and he's talking about me. Let me make it as clear as possible. Let me ask you, Wes. Can I reject what you say on religious matters and still go to heaven? Because if I can, then you, Wes, are not speaking for Christ. Let me make it as clear as possible. You cannot reject what I say on religious matters and go to heaven. Reject what I say, speaking as a Catholic, and you are damned. Because I am, when you hear my words on religious matters, you are hearing me bear witnessing to the truth, which is presented by our Lord to the apostles, to the disciples, and preserved in the one true, only Church of Rome. How much time have I got, Wes, left?
45 seconds.
I'm sorry.
45.
Okay. Again, I repeat it. He who hears you, hears me. And I go back again on the philosophical issue of the truth. If you deny the Fatima event exists, if you deny the miracle of Lourdes, if you deny the miracle of Our Lady of Guadalupe, if you deny the Eucharistic miracles, including the one in Italy, then you are a liar. If you want to explain them in some other way, that's fine. You can try that. But if you deny them, you are a liar. And liars do not have the authority to ask people to accept them. And that's why I put it on this personal level. I'm advocating myself as a non-liar. I'm not saying you are. I'm only saying if you deny events in history, you are a liar. The same way if you deny the inauguration or the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. That makes a person liar, too. And I'm out of time.
Before we turn back over to Wesley, we want to say, folks, after Wesley finishes his 5 minutes, speech, when it comes back to me, we're going to take just a break for a moment to go to a song. And then we'll give you a chance to turn your tapes over, because we do know many people are trying to tape our program today, and we appreciate that very much. Brother Wesley.
Let us turn our own tapes over and go over to side two, and we can hear what Brother Wesley wants to tell us. Thanks for listening.
Brother Wesley.
Okay, Ben said, if you do not accept what I, Ben Lewis, says, then you're lost. You're not a Roman Catholic. And he says, no one else says that. I agree with that to a large degree, Ben. There's other religious group that says that. Here's what we say. If you do not accept what the Word of God says, you're lost. Not what Wesley Simon says. Not what Eddie Kraft says. What the Word of God says. That's where Ben goes wrong. Then there are millions of Catholics that will stand up in your face and say, you are wrong. I took that questionnaire that I gave you and gave it to other Catholics, and even the priest in this area with whom I have spoken will not agree with you. They would say, you're wrong. You misunderstand Vatican II. You misunderstand a lot of things. And then Ben says, well, you can deny the miracles of words if you want to, but you're a liar. You can deny what took place at Fatima, but you're a liar. These other miracles, let me tell you folks who a liar is. And I say this kindly. He who adds to or takes from the Word of God. The Bible says in Revelation 22:18-19, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plague that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. God says, don't add to, don't take from the book. Over and over he says that. He says it in Deuteronomy 4:2. He says it in Proverbs 30, verse number 6. He says it in Galatians 1:6-9. He says it here in Revelation 22:18-19. Now then, don't add to, don't take from the Word of God. Where is Fatima? Where is the miracles of the Lord's? Why aren't the miracles of the Word of God good enough? We believe in miracles. Praise God we do. Miracles, according to Mark 16:20, was to confirm the Word of God. Hebrews 2:1-4 says those miracles confirm the Word of God. And by the way, the Bible makes it plain that you and I are not to go beyond that which is written. We're not to think above that which is written. Now, then, since we're not to think above that which is written, where is Fatima in the Word of God? In 1 Corinthians 4:6, and these things, brethren, are having a figure, transferred to myself into a palace for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. That no one of you be puffed up for life. God says to be saved, or you'll be lost. You have to be a member of the church you read about in the Word of God, or be lost, for all the saved were added to it. According to Acts 2 and verse number 47, if all the saved are added to it, then you've got to be a member of it, or be lost. You're not among those which are saved. Now, doesn't it amaze you folks that the only proof that men tried to give to the Roman Catholic Church are things like Fatima, the miracle of words, the encyclopedia, go to it, the Wesley Simons begging you, go to the Word of God, see what Jesus has to say. He said, oh, but don't you know? He said, if you don't accept those that I've sent, then you've rejected me. The question is, then, who has the Lord sent? Who's got his word? That's the question. You've not given us his word. You've not told us anything that Jesus has said as such. We want to hear the words of Jesus, not what took place in Fatima. We want to hear the words of the inspired Apostle Paul, not the miracle of words. We want to hear the inspired words of Simon Peter, not the World Book Encyclopedia. Come on, then. Now, what we need is evidence. We need proof. We're affording you a golden opportunity to establish the Roman Catholic Church as being the only church. And you're not taking advantage of it. Now, give us some evidence. Not just some assumptions that this is true or I've seen that over there is true. What we need is fact. You agree, I agree, the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, perfect will of God. A reliable history. Why not go to that history then and find the Roman Catholic Church? Why not find your nuns there
and your folks in the Word of God. Now do you need to go to history books? We need to get you back in the inspired Word of God. And if you go back into the inspired Word of God, you'll find the right answer. And we hope you'll do this the next time that you speak.
Okay, just before we give it back to Ben, we want all of you to stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're going to take this opportunity to go to a song.
5 minutes. Thank you. There's a phrase I used before, none so blind as those who will not see. There's a corollary to it, none so deaf as those who will not hear. Wesley seems to intentionally black out the fact that I've mentioned again there is a passage, I believe, is in the Gospel of St. Mark, that my followers will do greater signs than these. He asked me for evidence of miracles. The miracle of Fatima was greater than any sign recorded in the Bible. He also said that I only use miracles. That's, shall we put it, a factual inexactitude, which is a fancy word for a non-truth. I mentioned the concept of humility. I mentioned the concept of taking poverty seriously. I mentioned the concept of miracles, and I mentioned the ontological concept that only the Church of Rome teaches, that truth is important enough that without it you will be damned. Now, I brought those up. Wesley keeps saying, I brought up only miracles. Is Fatima itself mentioned in the Bible? No, of course not. So what? Neither is an automobile, neither is President Clinton, neither is Abraham Lincoln, neither is the country of France. All of those things are facts. Once again, deny those, you're a liar, and you go to hell, because you must hold on to all truths as they are presented to you. As an aside, I think one of the points Wesley should, which Wesley brings up, and I will clarify it, is there are no nuns, at least to my knowledge, mentioned in the Bible. Nuns are not essential to Catholicism. If every nun in the world died, or if there never was another nun who took an order, entered an order, or took a vow, that would not have anything to do with the essentials of Catholicism. Same thing with cardinals. The Catholic Church existed before there were cardinals, and it will exist if all the cardinals died or we get away with the office. Those are completely extra things. They are sort of like uniforms on an army. They change. They may help you to identify certain things, but they have nothing to do with the actual army itself. Catholicism is a religious system which holds certain things to be true and does certain things. Only those things are central to Catholicism. And once again, I would say it again. Anybody who would say to you, Wesley, that I am wrong in my positions and claims to be a Catholic is simply a liar. But what I would do is I would quote Isaiah or paraphrase Isaiah. Let him confront me to my face. Let him quote his sources. Let me quote mine. Let's see which one of us falls. I would ask you, Wesley, to give those people my name and telephone number. Ask them to call me. Let me record the conversations, and I will show to you that any person who claims to be a Catholic, that claims that anything I have said wrong of the stance of nature, is in fact not a liar, but in the true sense of the word, both a liar and a coward. I'm not a liar. They are. I'm a Catholic. They aren't. But let me make it personal again on the concept of authority, which is, I thought, where we were, which is a little bit different from the actual proof of the validity of the Catholic Church, although related. Let me put it this way. One of the reasons why you must accept the authority of the Church of Rome is every other, quote, Christian system, unquote, makes one a blasphemer by rejecting what they all accept to be true. So I'll make it extremely personal and ask Wesley to answer this question directly. There's a series of questions. If you want to write them down or listen to them carefully, please do so. Are you going to be judged after you die before you get into heaven if you are saved? Yes, you will. Are you going to have a review of your life? Will you render an account for all of your moments in your life, for all of your failures and all of your successes? Yes, you will. When you see these failures, when you see the time you had lust in your heart, when you see the times you had anger for no just reason, when you see the times you were cowardly and betrayed your faith, when you see the times you were envious and greedy and slothful, when you see all of those times, will you be sorrowful for the sins that you drove the nails deeper into the cross of our, into the hands of our Lord? Yes, you will. So then what have we just described? We have described suffering, pain, which will happen to saved people after they die, but before they enter into heaven. That's what I've just described, unless Wesley or any other non-Catholic wants to say that A, he'll be happy to see his sins, B, there is no judgment, C, there is no account given for his life. If he denies any of those, he's not a Christian, he denies the Word of God. But if he accepts those, what have I described again? Suffering due to sins, which will not keep you out of heaven after death. Purgatory. That's exactly purgatory. Everybody believes in it, but only the Catholic Church affirms that we believe in what we really believe. Every other system denies that they believe in what they really believe. Every other system is self-contradictory, lying, dishonest. Therefore, let's go back to the question of authority. Why should we believe that? Why should we accept the authority of the Church the one true church, the Church of Rome, because every other system requires one to become blasphemous, to take a serious belief and to go against it. Now, if you want, as a quick example of a verse, look at Matthew 18 towards the end of the story. It's called The Merciless Servant. There, our Lord says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, my Father in heaven will not forgive you unless you forgive others in your heart." He says this several other times. He also says this one in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as equal to we forgive others. Okay.
Thank you, Ben.
Okay, a lot of good stuff I want to cover. Ben says we ought to forgive as we expect the Lord to forgive us. That's true. We have no problem with that. That is purgatory. He says purgatory is that which keeps you out of hell. Now, he's wrong. Jesus Christ is that which keeps you out of hell. His blood, his grace, and doing what he says. And Ben's not told us what Jesus has said. He's told us about world books. He's told us about Fatima. He's told us about the miracles of the Lord. But he has not told us what Jesus has said. And that's what we want to hear. As a matter of fact, he says the miracle at Fatima is greater than any miracle in the Bible. Then, greater than the virgin birth, greater than Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's cross for you and me, being buried after he died and coming forth from the grave, victorious over that grave, to die no more? Is this all that Roman Catholicism has to offer then? Is this your best shot? Come on now, you can do better than this. Anybody that says the miracle of Fatima is greater than the miracles that our loving Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself did, my friends, has a serious problem with biblical interpretation. Now, he says, yes, you're right, some things aren't mentioned in the Bible. The nuns, the cardinals, etc. You're right about that. I know I was. I'm right about the Roman Church not being mentioned there, too, Roman Catholicism. I'm right about the Pope not being mentioned there. Now, notice he doesn't go to the Bible to try to establish these things. He goes to world books and things of that nature. Then we want you back in the Word of God. That's where we want you. Get back in the Word of God and show us these things from the Bible. Now, he wanted me to answer a series of questions about the judgment. You believe you're going to be judged? You believe your life and what happened will be reviewed there? Do you believe there'll be sorrows for sin? Yes to all of those. And especially, my friends, if you're not covered by the blood of the Lamb. But then holds a doctrine that says that even if you've trusted in Jesus, you're still going to have to go to purgatory for a little while. His blood's not sufficient to keep you out of there. Now, show us that in the Word of God. See, the blood of Jesus Christ will keep you out of hell, period, folks. Jesus Christ died that you and I would not perish, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, there's some questions I asked then. Can fallible men interpret the Bible for themselves and be right in the sight of God? He says yes. Well, then, if we can, where's Fatima? Where's the miracles of the Lord's? Where's the cardinals and the nuns that he already admits is not found there? By the way, who changed the organization of the church? The Catholics did. He admitted it's not there. When he admitted you got to believe in Fatima to be saved, he admitted the plan of salvation has been changed. You can't do what Acts 2.38 teaches. You can't do what John 3.16 teaches. You can't do what Mark 16.16 teaches. The plan of salvation, according to him, has been changed. I asked him, if one faithfully follows the Bible only, can he go to heaven? And he says, meaning does what it records as right? Yes, that's what we're talking about. What it records as right. Doing that, if I do that, then, please tell me what verse I'll find Fatima in, and the miracle of the Lord's, and 100 other things that the Catholic Church believes in that's not in the Word of God. He knows he cannot prove his doctrine using the Bible. And so then he resorts to miracles that you and I will not back. Can you imagine, he said, Fatima was where the sun came down to the earth and didn't burn anyone? Come on, folks. Common sense will tell you better than that. I don't care how many people claim to see it. Common sense will tell you that did not occur. And what we need is it affirmed by God. Let God affirm that that took place. Not 70,000 people. The miracles in the Word of God are affirmed by the Holy Spirit. They're affirmed by God, by Christ. And you won't find Fatima there. You won't find the miracles of the Lord there.
But you'll find many glorious miracles. Jesus walking on water. Jesus giving sight to the blind. Jesus restoring the hearing to the deaf. And Ben said, I don't care how good you think those are, Wesley. Fatima beats them all. It beats every one of them. There's not a miracle in the Word of God equivalent to Fatima. When I say in love, oh gosh, go back to the Word of God. Believe the glorious miracles, the virgin birth. Go back and believe what the Word of God says on these things. And give up Fatima. These things that men have come up with. Notice all he's got is man-made doctrine, man-made tradition. He does not have a thus saith the Lord. And that's what he needs to prove this case.
Okay, Ben, give you the next 5 minutes.
Right, a couple of points. Number one, I didn't say the Lord's followers would work greater signs than these. Our Lord said it. Wesley said anybody who says that has got a serious problem, and Wesley says our Lord's got a serious problem. And again, he said greater signs than these. Now, I don't think he was referring to the virgin birth. I'm sure he wasn't. I don't mean Fatima was greater than that. I'm saying greater signs. I'm taking it as our Lord says it. Signs are things that you can see. The point is this, which I thought was very interesting, and it showed some signs of integrity on Wesley's part. He agreed with the functioning of purgatory. He said, on the record, it does work. It is what I said. He agreed. Therefore, if Wesley has ever held that as soon as you die, you're instantly in heaven, and you don't go through a suffering period, then Wesley has contradicted himself. He's the Mark Furman of his church, and therefore, and we're going back to it again, concept of authority. We don't trust people who contradict themselves. Once again, let me try to bring this back to, let me make one more point, then try to bring it back to a more generalized statement. Wesley said that common sense will tell you that the sun can't come down from the sky and without burning people. He's utterly right. Common sense will also tell you that a man can't walk on water, but the first Pope, St. Peter, did, because that was a divine act. We always say our Lord walked on water, and that was a divine act. It was, but we forget that the first Pope walked on water, too, because of the divine gift. It's a prefigurement and a sign of the papacy. Common sense will tell you that a virgin couldn't conceive and bear a child. Common sense will tell you that. But our Lord tells you differently. And remember, common sense is what the many think. And the many are damned, and the few are saved. Common sense is not what the elect, but what the non-elect think. Common sense puts you in hell, guaranteed, always. Because it's common sense doesn't come from God, but from the sinful nature, the fallen sinful nature of man. Let me get back philosophical again. What we're talking about here is a matter of truth. Truth is related to authority. To accept an authority as being proper and valid, that authority must bear witness to the truth, claim to have the truth, and proclaim the truth. That is what the Church of Rome does. What that means is that it must accept truth whenever it has occurred. Not the truth I like, not the things I like. That's called bigotry and prejudice. It may be, in fact, that there are some lazy black people, but that doesn't allow me to become now a bigot against all blacks. There may be some bad Jews. That doesn't allow me the right to become anti-Semitic. No, one must accept truth wherever it is presented, wherever it is held. And that's the point I make about the Catholic Church, universal. We accept all truths at all times, of all places. Not things that claim to be true. What Wesley has presented is, in the true sense of the word, a bigotry, a prejudice. We will reject as untrue whatever might be supportive of Catholicism without inspecting it, without checking it out. Wesley made a good point. He sent me written questions beforehand, and I answered them. He was familiar with Fatima. He could have gone to the library and looked it up, but instead he can only say here, and if you'll excuse the expression, pontificate, that it isn't true. It didn't happen. Wesley, I got a $1,000 bet if you can give me any evidence that it didn't happen, and I will present to you any evidence that it did. And what we'll do is we'll pick an arbitrator, a professional arbitrator out of a telephone book down in Tennessee. And if he decides in my favor, I get the $1,000. I put my money where my mouth is. I'm not sure if you're willing to. It happened, Wesley, but I don't want to get hung up on Fatima. It doesn't really matter. The point comes down to this again. I presented about four or five proofs, arguments, evidence for the validity of the Catholic Church. I'll give one more. The Bible came from the Catholic Church. It was the Catholic Church in councils of Carthage and Hippo towards the end of the 4th century and the early part of the 5th, which pronounced the formal canon of the Old and New Testament. Otherwise, the Bible would not exist as the Bible. The individual parts certainly would exist, because all of those books were written by men who had been dead for at least 200-300 years.
But the Bible itself, as any book, only comes into existence when all the parts of the book are put together by the publisher, not the author of the book. If I write a book, and if I speak to publish it, it is exactly the way I want. But if I write a book and I submit it to a publisher and he cuts out chapter 5 and publishes it, then chapter 5 is cut out. Because it is the ultimate publisher who decides the contents of the book. In the same way the publisher ultimately decides the contents of a newspaper. The Catholic Church is the organization through which the Bible came to man. And if you accept the pronouncement of our Lord, eternal word of God, infallible in the Bible, that you judge a tree by its fruits, then the tree of Catholicism produced the fruit, the Bible. And therefore, if the fruit is good, the tree must be good. How much time have I got, Jack?
3 minutes.
Okay, fine. Let me get back to the whole concept of...
No, I'm sorry, 3 seconds.
Well, okay. Then I thought it was rather long, and let me get back to that.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. We'll make mistakes.
Okay, what?
Well, if you're not a Catholic, you make mistakes. Sorry.
Let me say this. Vin said that if you don't accept the testimony, you're bigoted. Wesley is bigoted. Now, what it amounts to, if I don't buy what Vin is telling me, happen out here in tradition and the stories that people tell, I am bigoted. Now, folks, you've heard people call in here and even give the exact time for the rapture. What they had seen, what God had shown them. We denied that, but that didn't mean we were bigoted. No, we believed the word of God over their testimony. Then I believe the word of God over your testimony. That's the problem. He says, Wesley's right. Common sense will tell you. The sun cannot come down to the earth without burning people. But then common sense would also tell you that a virgin could not have a child, or that a man could not walk on water, and so forth. You're right, then. Here's the difference. The inspired, inerrant, perfect will of God declares that a virgin gave birth to a son. The inspired, inerrant, perfect will of God said that a man walked on water. Now, you show me where the inspired, inerrant, perfect will of God affirms Fatima, and you've got to believe it. That's all you've got to do. You're affirming something that's not in the Word of God. All right, Wesley, then I've got $1,000 I'll put up against 1,000 of yours, and we'll get us a neutral arbitrator, we'll get all the evidence, and we'll see who's right. Friends, gambling's wrong to start with. That's not the correct way to go at it. But not only that, then, I wouldn't be afraid to do that, because the Word of God is affirmed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that when the complete Word of God came, miracles would be done away with. That settles it, whether you believe it or whether you don't. And then I want you to notice that he says the Catholics gave us the Word of God. Well, now, the Catholics didn't give us the Word of God. Well, then, where did we get it then, Wesley? In 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Notice the Holy Ghost gave us the Bible in Job 32:8, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. In 2 Samuel 23:2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. On and on we could go with verse after verse, showing clearly, my friends, that the Holy Spirit gave us the Word of God. Now, the Greek Orthodox Church is older than the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church has got to take place number 3. You got the Lord's Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, the Roman Catholic Church. By the way, the Greek Orthodox Church had many of these manuscripts. There were other fragments. There's writings from the Church Fathers. There were all kinds of evidences of the Word of God being inspired. By the way, if the Catholics gave us the Bible, preserved it for us and all of that, where were the Catholics when Moses threw those stones down and broke them? Notice God gave them back. Where were the Catholics when Jehoiakim cut the Bible up? The Lord gave it back. Where were the Catholics, my friends, when the Old Testament canon was being determined? God Almighty gave it to us. The Catholics didn't give it back to us. But that's what Ben Russell's believed. Catholics gave it back. Catholics gave it back. No, Catholics didn't give it back. The Lord gave it back. God Almighty gave it back. But Ben Russell said, Catholics gave it back. No. Catholics didn't give it back. God gave it back. God preserved it. God is the great preserver of the Word of God. The Catholics did not give it back. Now, then, whether the Bible was ever put in book form or not, whether it was ever put in book, chapter, and verse, is beside the point. God gave us the Bible, not the Roman Catholics. And if you gave it to us, we're crying out loud, why don't you use it?
I've been begging you all day to use the Word of God. Why don't you find the Pope in there? Why don't you find the nuns, the cardinals, mass? Why don't you find purgatory? See, Wesley believes in purgatory. No, Wesley doesn't believe in purgatory. Wesley believes in Hades and Rome is taught in Luke chapter 16, which is contrary to purgatory, because once you're in that realm, then you can't trade from one compartment to the other. You can't go from a lost state to a saved state, and purgatory allows you to do that. I believe in the Hades and Rome as taught in Luke chapter 16. Purgatory is not taught in the inspired, inerrant, perfect will of God. Wesley doesn't believe in purgatory. Wesley believes what the Bible says about the Hadean realm. Now, if you gave us the Bible and you said you did, then please use some of it. Show us the Roman Catholic Church in the Bible. Show us the plan of salvation the Roman Catholics teach in the Word of God. Show us the baptizing of infants. Show us praying to Mary. Show us all these other things that you believe in. Show us the infallibility of the Pope. Show us these things. We need book, chapter, and verse. Not just assuming your case. Oh, Ben, do that if you will at this time.
Ben, we're going to cut it down now. We're about out of time to a minute and 30 seconds for you and a minute and 30 seconds for Wesley.
I'll do it quickly.
Okay, appreciate it very much.
I can't do what Wesley wants only because of a matter of time. The point was this. I was asked to discuss authority. If I gave intercessory prayer from the Bible, which I can do, he would have said, that's fine, Ben, but what about authority? If I had shown papal infallibility from the Bible, which I can do, he would have said, that's been fine, Ben, but what about authority? I invite him to ask me back at another time to deal with only those issues on a separate show in which I will give verse from all of them. But the last point I think I might have time for is this. Wesley pulled a subtle con act there. Where was the Catholic Church when Moses destroyed the tablets? That wasn't the Bible, Wesley. The Bible is the Old and New Testament, not just the Old Testament. And the point about saying this, whether it was ever put into a book form or not is irrelevant. Wesley, that's a ridiculous statement, because if you're basing your salvation and your religious system on a book, then the most important thing is, are the table of contents correct? Can you verify that what's in that book is supposed to be in that book and what isn't? You wouldn't bet your life on a law book. You wouldn't bet your case on a law book if that law book was not verified by an authority saying this law's book's in effect on civil code or penal code or vehicle and traffic at this time, at this date, in the state of Tennessee. The whole point is this. If you're basing anything on the Bible, the first thing you better believe is the authority of the institution that put it together. And if you don't, all you are is a self-contradictory person. And self-contradictory persons cannot advance authority. Again, summation. I can prove everything from the Bible. That's one question I've never been asked that I can answer, which is, show me a Catholic dogma that's not in the Bible. And I'm talking about relics, purgatory, intercessory prayer, etc. Invite me back.
Okay, thank you very much, Ben. Wesley, last minute and 30 seconds.
Well, Ben says you could have proved it if you had the time. Ben, we gave you 30 minutes at least to try to prove it, and you did not prove your case using the Word of God. He said, well, I wouldn't want to bet on just part of the Bible, you know, taking this part or that part. Ben, you're putting your trust in the encyclopedia. What people say about Fatima, about the miracle of the Lord's. It's all Wesley put a little cunning trick about the Old Testament. Where was the Catholic Church? Now, what I'm saying is, Ben, the Old Testament was preserved without the Catholic Church. That's what I'm saying. God Almighty did that. And God Almighty preserves the New Testament as well. We don't need the Catholic Church. God needs no man. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall endure forever. Matthew 24:35. Now, Ben, why didn't you use those precious words? We beg you. You wanted to be in the affirmative. We gave you a shot. We beg you. Use the Word of God. Thursday, for crying out loud, use the Word of God. You say you gave it to us. Well, then at least use it. If I gave somebody the book, then I would at least use it. And so then I think my time is up, and Eddie has to make some summary comments.
We want to thank Wesley and Ben for this Bible study together. We hope that you'll join us Thursday from 2 to 3. As these gentlemen will continue their discussion, and what we're going to do is continue to allow you, our listeners, to make some phone calls, and these men will be able to address your questions concerning authority. And again, we want to express our appreciation to each of you for joining us today, and we hope you'll join us again next week, next Thursday. Until then, may God bless you is our prayer.
I strongly suggest that you listen to that next Thursday recording where I get back at Wesley. Thanks for listening. God bless.